Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. It's February 19th, 2009, and we have a couple public hearings and a work session today. So I will open up a public hearing on SCR 5, and Beth, if you can give us an overview, please.
SCR 5 honors the life of Gene Landsman, who passed away in February 2008, recognizes his love of Mount Ashland and his dedication to the skiing community.
Okay, thank you. And we have our very own Jason Atkinson, my vice chair, that would like to open on this bill. Welcome. It's nice to see you on the other side of the dais.
Sounds like I've just passed away, Madam Chair.
I thought you just handed in a registration card or something.
For the record, my name is Jason Atkinson, State Senator from District 2, Southern Oregon. Madam Chair, thank you very much for holding this hearing, and I'll just be brief. But what this bill does is it celebrates the life of a very good friend of mine, and a very good friend of my family's, and a very good friend of the entire skiing community of Mount Ashland. Before you is a photograph of Gene Landsman. And if you'll see just to the left of that photograph, that was the brochure of the hill, as we call it, a couple of years ago, and that's me. From being a little kid all the way up to later in life, everyone's goal on Mount Ashland was to ski like this man, Gene Landsman. We called him various things, but Gino did pass away last year from cancer. And the photograph before you, I believe, is the very last race that he did. He was someone who never married, did not have children. Gene's whole family was all of those kids that got dumped off at Mount Ashland in the parking lot, including my brother and I. And if you look at who this bill was sponsored at the request of, it's actually my brother. The reason for that really is that this man was a very gracious gentleman, and he kind of had a way about him that was very paternal in the way he took care of people. He was a student of skiing, and even in his later years and all of the things that I accomplished in my professional career, I had a hard time beating this guy. He was on the Austrian B team before he immigrated to the United States to ski at Sun Valley. He left Sun Valley to fall in love with this little teeny hill that just got purchased or just got created called Mount Ashland, and he was with Mount Ashland the whole way. Through all of the years when we were owned by Stevens Pass in Washington, the years that the community had to get behind and save the hill, and then all of the ESA and all the other stuff that the mountain goes through today, Gene Landsman was there the whole time. If you'll notice that in the picture that I dropped off for you, he has a bib on. It's a Safeway bib, and there's a letter on his bib, not a number. And the reason is that Gene was so fast that most races wouldn't allow him to race because it's kind of not fair if a guy always wins every race for 30 or 40 years. And so he was the forerunner of all the races. The years that the state championships for high school and the collegiate championships would be held in Oregon, would be held at Mount Ashland, he was always the forerunner, which is a way of testing timing equipment. He usually would set the fastest time in the forerun that no one else in the race could beat. He went on to a long and distinguished career in senior, quote-unquote, racing and racing at nationals. He was the marketing director for years and really had played an instrumental part in saving the hill, which really did save a whole generation of kids. As I look at Gene, years when I first started skiing, I switched from being a racer to my professional ranks of skiing. Gene was kind of proud, you might say, and he gave me a watch, if you can believe this, that you can only use the watch by having your ski gloves on. You can't really use it with your fingers. It was designed to be pushed with these big, huge gloves on. And Gene followed my career for all the years that I was away from Mount Ashland. And I just miss him very much and would like to, the honor of this to be passed on the Senate floor and through the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this forward to us today. Senator, any questions? Okay. Great. All right, thank you. Would anybody else like to testify on this resolution? Okay, and we did not schedule this for a work session today, but we will bring it back for a work session soon. So with that, I will close SCR 5, the public hearing on SCR 5, and go ahead and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 448. And Beth, if you can read the bill.
Senate Bill 448 directs the State Department of Energy to develop rules to establish guidelines for the design, construction, renovation of major facilities to meet high-performance building standards. There's some people here to explain it, so I'll not go on.
Okay. First, why don't I have Gracely? We're going to have Cindy Roberts up and also John Blumenthal. And then we also have somebody from the Department of Energy. I guess, do you want them to come up for this panel?
Please.
Good. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert, and I'm proud to represent the American Institute of Architects of Oregon. First of all, we want to congratulate this body on your continued leadership in energy conservation, alternative energy promotion, and environmental stewardship. We are asking you to take this same leadership role by supporting Senate Bill 448, which guides state agencies in sustainable design to achieve high-performance buildings. Simply, Senate Bill 448 asks the Department of Energy to adopt, by rule, high-performance building standards, otherwise known as National Certification Programs for Green Buildings. These are such programs as LEED, Green Globe, and Energy Star. Then, state agencies who are constructing buildings over 10,000 square feet would have to use a life cycle cost analysis to determine which standard to use and to what level they should aspire within that standard and move forward towards meeting those goals and aspirations and measurement standards within that certification program. The certification programs would be added to the current Department of Energy programs. It would not supersede them in any way. In past sessions, the legislature has enacted legislation which requires buildings to meet enhanced energy reduction standards. Some of these buildings will need to be retrofitted and their energy systems significantly changed in order to meet the standards that you all adopted. But Senate Bill 448 requires us to start from the very beginning of the building process and inspires us to look towards the future and ensure that our long-range energy goals are met from the very beginning. Further, these certification programs guide designers and builders in green building practices, which include various measurements, including site selection. That has to do with brownfield redevelopment and stormwater design, water efficiency, energy performance, energy conservation, materials used, such as recycled content, and indoor environmental quality, such as increased ventilation, daylight use, and thermal temperature controls. So sustainable design elements and the ensuing innovations that have come about are not new to anybody in Oregon. Both developers and construction contractors and your designers use them and have adopted them in many areas, including the city of Portland, which has a long-standing sustainable design policy. We believe that now is the time to encourage adoption of these programs throughout the built environment. And Senate Bill 448 asks state government to lead by example. I'm not sure if you know, but the governor's capital improvement budget for the next biennium includes $1.7 billion in projects over the next 6 years, from higher education facilities to National Guard facilities, from state office buildings to state hospital facilities. It's a large amount of money to spend, and these investments should have an eye on the future and the energy needs in the future, and we believe that implementing Senate Bill 448 will assure that they do. And while the news on the federal stimulus package may, in fact, bring some more projects to Oregon, the more important and the more sure line item within the federal stimulus package is $6.3 billion in energy efficiency grants to state and local governments. And we believe Senate Bill 448 will help inspire Oregon to try to take advantage of those grants. I will let other people speak more to the policy of 448, but I did want to bring out one point in the process. In 2007, AIA brought forward a sustainable building design piece of legislation. We learned in that effort a lot about the needs of other industries in Oregon and how our bill was impacting them. And the bill did pass the Senate Environment Committee, but it got held up in Ways and Means. So this time when we started, we went and sought the input of other folks. We asked the Department of Energy, the timber industry, the forest products industry, the unions, and the building material manufacturers in Oregon for input, and thus this bill. I think in the process, we learned a lot from each other. We cooperated, we all conceded, but I don't think that any of us actually had to change our core beliefs or values. So I think it was a good process, and I think that's why you have a widely supported bill. But because of that process, I just briefly, I'm almost done, I wanted to thank those in the effort, the AIA members, my AIA president, legislative chair, and Tim Bernasek, Chris Germer, Paul Cosgrove, Bill Cluding, Matt Marquis, Bill Merrill, and John Kaufman for their commitment to finding common ground. We really appreciate it. Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Why don't you go ahead and then we'll take questions.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The Department of Energy has worked with...
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Brady Peaks with the Oregon Department of Energy. We have worked with a number of state agencies through the State Energy Efficient Design Program, commonly known as the SEED program, and we routinely help them navigate the world of green building programs that go beyond the minimum requirements for SEED. So we're fully prepared to work with agencies should provisions of this bill be enacted into law.
Okay, thank you, and I think we're going to keep you on deck in case there's questions.
Okay.
So I also, Cindy, had John Blumenthal wanted to come up and testify.
Hey, you know, I'm not sure what happened to John. I know he left Portland at 2, so Madam Chair, I'm a little bit worried.
It's stuck in traffic. Okay.
Yeah, and I did want to say, you have a list of people. We wanted to keep this brief out of respect for your time. There's been a lot of work that's gone into it and a lot of support. I have since learned of one person who's not supporting, one industry that's not supporting, and the concerns there seem to be about who's doing this and why not building codes doing this work. And we believe strongly the Department of Energy is a place to focus on environmental factors, BEDSI, and we also believe that this program is actually just an extension of SEED and the governor's executive order that is currently in place has to do with sustainable design. So it's a natural extension of work they're already doing.
Well, I know that this bill passed this committee last session. I appreciate all the work you've done during the interim to bring the different parties together to address those concerns. And I know that you've worked really hard, and so has the AAA. So we appreciate that. And I know we're going to hear from another few folks who worked on it.
And, Madam Chair, if I could just leave one more thing. I didn't want to deluge you with information, but one of the questions that some people may have is in the fact sheet I gave you, I talk about the life cycle cost analysis. And I also put forth there that there's statistics that show that the cost of buildings is about 5% more when you build to certification standard. I use that number because it's actually higher. It's one of the higher numbers you'll see. The Department of Energy in Portland just did a study through Zenergy, and they compared three sample buildings according to their LEED certification. It was 0.3 to 1.3% more expensive. I do want to just leave you some information on that, including the fact that the SEED system currently has a life cycle cost analysis, and I put together their worksheets that you use to determine if it's worth a building doing, because there are outs in our legislation, whether it's a historic building or building that just frankly doesn't make financial sense. There are outs in this bill. So these worksheets will help you understand that. And the governor of California's Green Building Initiative, they have a life cycle cost analysis program that works very well. But more importantly, our sister to the north, Washington, has one that they're willing to let any state use. So I'll leave these with Beth.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
I think
any questions for Cindy?
I'm sorry.
There may be some questions, so before
okay,
we call up other panels. Any questions for Ms. Roberts? No? Okay.
There may not be.
No. Now that she sat down, there's no question.
Right. That's good. All right. Thank you. Chris Germer and Bill Cluding. Thank you for coming, gentlemen. Chris, why don't you get started?
Okay. Excuse me. Madam Chair, members, Chris Jarmer, Oregon Forest Industries Council. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 448. Want to thank Cindy for the nice words that she had for us. I would return those. It was a very interesting process. I learned a lot about billing that I didn't know, and appreciate Cindy's help in getting me there. I'd also like to thank Bill and the other members of our little group that we put together last session. Several of them are in the audience and going to testify. This was a joint effort. We got together and put the bill in front of you that you see, so I want to be supportive. I just want to point out two things, and I'll be real brief. At our request, the architects put in Section 3, Sub 1, and Sub C. It's on the bottom of page 2. I'd just like to read it. Encourage the use of all products harvested, mined, or made in Oregon without reference to the product certification status. I think that's a great idea for Oregon to encourage the use of products that were made and grown here. So that's a good thing. Second thing I'd like to point out is, again, with Cindy's help, we met with the Department of Energy, with Betty Merrill in particular, about doing some rulemaking that would increase the number of ways that builders can qualify for the BETSI tax credits. So I think that'll lead to more efficient buildings, and it's good for the building owners and the developers. So I think those are good things, and just appreciate all that Cindy did to get us here. So that's all I'm going to say.
Great. Thank you. Mr.
Madam Chair, committee, for the record, Bill Cluding, Carpenters and Joiners, Canada. This is a good bill. This is a good bill. Took a lot of work. And, again, I'll voice everybody's opinion. You can thank Cindy. She did the legwork. She put the rules together. This my membership of 4,000 in this state, they like this bill. It Oregon products can be used. Any Oregon wood products can be used, no matter what the certification. So I'll just stop right there and thank you for hearing this bill.
Right. Thank you, gentlemen. I know that you've been working very hard with Cindy on this for many, many months, so we appreciate the input, and it sounds like we've come back with even a better bill to address the concerns that we heard last session. Are there any questions or comments you'd like to make, Senator Atkinson?
I just want to say thank you as a veteran of whenever we tried this last, I think a couple of years ago. I really am happy to see everybody work together before this hearing, so that means a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Przonski.
Yeah, Chris, your statement about what Cindy inserted under the Section 3, Sub 1, Sub C, specifically the last part saying without reference to the product certification status. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, it's not organic, or it's not reaching some level. I'm trying to figure out what this is.
Madam Chair and Senator, without going into the trials of 2007, the certification is in forestry. There's competing certification schemes.
The lead.
Last session's bill started out in a place that would have discouraged Oregon, most of Oregon's wood products.
Okay, that's enough. Thanks for the memory.
It's coming back.
We've been there. We've done that. Okay.
Would you like to comment on that, or
not necessarily?
Okay. Madam Chair, this is a good bill.
Okay, we like short and sweet.
That's a great comment.
Anybody else has any questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. All right, Duke Shepherd. From the FLCIO. Oh, here you are. Just looking over there.
He's on the left.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, I will be Duke Shepherd, the AFL-CIO. I'll be redundant. Great bill. We had a variety of concerns last session, all of which have been addressed, and I appreciate the work that Cindy and Chris and Bill and everybody put into it. So thanks for hearing it.
Great. Thank you. We do have somebody that would like to testify. Has some comments on the bill. Brian Torbett from NECA, and you can make sure everybody knows what NECA is when you come up.
Thank you. For the record, Ryan Tribbett with PacWest, representing NECA Electrical Contractors Association and also the Building Trades Council. I'm here today to register our opposition to Senate Bill 448. We've worked hard with the Building Codes Division to craft rules that bring stakeholders together in the appropriate manner. The Building Codes Division has the expertise to craft rules just like these. Their process works. We believe 448 creates a duplicative process that will create additional administrative costs in a time when we know that you're scraping for every nickel and dime available. It is redundant to have the Department of Energy create rules that the Building Codes Division is more than capable of doing. For the last three sessions, the legislature has worked to streamline the permitting process with building codes, and this, we see this is moving in the opposite direction. And just one other note, it is confusing when we're working on making more energy efficiency standards in the building codes, and then we're also working with in the Senate Bill 79 work group where we're talking about creating a second set of building codes that are aspirational codes for energy efficiency, and then now we're talking about another third layer on top of that, and it's just getting confusing in terms of having a universal standard that to build to. And so.
So since we have the Department of Energy here that just talked about their SEED program and how this relates to your SEED program, maybe you'd like to respond to that, because I thought I heard you say this is pretty consistent with what you already have in place.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
You want to turn the mic, and please just identify yourself again for the
record. Again, Brady Peaks, Oregon Department of Energy. And currently, this text would apply to new state-owned facilities or major renovations to state-owned facilities. And those facilities currently go through the SEED process, which is in ORS 276-900-915. And this is an adjunct to that section that creates another type of qualifying path for a state facility to use. And so regardless of who were to enact the criteria and guidelines for what a high-performance building would be, those agencies would still be using the SEED process, which would be following it. So,
and you currently implement the SEED process, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we currently implement the SEED process for all state projects.
So just to follow up, it doesn't sound like it's duplicative but complementary to the work that you're already doing?
That's how I would see it, yes.
Okay. I think Senator Atkinson had a question.
Sure, thank you. I realize you're just a messenger, and I'm fully loaded, but I won't do that. Was your client part of the conversations around this bill last session?
Before I was with them.
You should know that before you come up. Were they part? Was your client part of the negotiations surrounding this issue last session?
I don't know.
Okay. How long have you known that this bill's been out here?
2 days.
Okay. We, as a committee, just got very bent out of shape over a lobbyist on a different issue this week, who came in with 24 hours of notice and didn't go to the committee members and tried to kill a bill that we had worked significantly on. I'm not saying that's going on here, but I realize you're in a tough spot. But this has been going on for a long time. And we've got, I don't know how often that you get so many members from varieties of labor, from AFL-CIO to Teamsters, to mill owners, to architects, to Department of Energy, to come around and actually agree. It's a little disconcerting. It's concerning to me that there'd be an opposition when they have, I think, worked and demonstrated how hard they have been to have a broad coalition of support. Would you like to be a part of a working group, or do your
Yes.
client know that?
Yes.
Well, I would suggest that you get to meet all the folks in the back of the room on behalf of your client and maybe talk to them as this marches over to the Senate, to the House, which I hope it does.
Happy to do so.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Okay, Senator Prezanski.
I'm complete, Senator.
Thank you, sir. Ryan, I'm kind of puzzled as to the statements as to this should be done through the building codes as compared to the Department of Energy. Since these are state-owned buildings, my understanding this is limited to just new buildings or renovation of state buildings, that the private sector is not impacted by this. Is that correct? And Brady, am I right that this bill basically is dealing with just state agency buildings?
Madam Chair, Senator Prezanski, yes, it's just state buildings.
Okay, and so I guess I'm puzzled as to the statements that you've made, Ryan, on behalf of your client, since this deals only with state facilities as compared to private buildings being built. What's the disconnect here?
is it not private companies working on the projects?
Well, that could be. I would assume that for the most part they would be. And so...
Well, if they're having to build to the standards, I was talking to the confusion that it, having the building codes, having a separate, the aspirational ones we're working on with Senate Bill 79, and then having an additional set of rules from a different agency is what, in terms of having a universal standard that we build to.
Okay. Fair enough.
If you could talk a little bit about how that process currently works, and if you foresee that there would be a conflict if you're using private contractors.
Okay, Madam Chair, Brady Peaks, Oregon Department of Energy. Currently, the process when an agency has planned a new facility or a major renovation, they will come to our agency with an early notification of the project, at which time we work with them to select an energy analyst for their project, who is an independent party who will work along with that design team to model the performance of the proposed building and do the analysis for figuring out which additional measures make sense to add into that project so that we get every cost-effective energy savings measure implemented. And so that analyst currently works with the architects, the engineers, regardless of what the firm is, that the agency winds up selecting through the procurement process to engage on the project. This party is one that typically has quite a bit of expertise in the field and works with all the design teams, and has worked for quite a number of years, we think really quite well for the state.
And so you would have, just to follow up, you would have specification. You're going to be putting out an RFP, going through that whole process. It'll be laid out in the request for proposal for this work.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Did you have a follow-up that you wanted to make, Senator Boquist?
Well, I don't see a deployment, Madam Chair, because I'm against 79, so.
Okay. Well, we're talking about this bill, but okay. Appreciate that. I think that you've sort of addressed the issue as far as I'm concerned, that it doesn't sound like it's duplicative, and since you'd be laying it out in the request for proposal process, I think that would cover any confusion for a contractor. But I think we have somebody else who'd like to testify on this, so before I close the public hearing, I'd like to call up Joe Esmond. We have Joe Esmond from the IBEW who'd like to testify.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Senators. I'm not as polished as some, but not in public. But anyway, I'm Joe Esmond. I represent about 4,000 electricians in Portland, Oregon, all of which already who do energy efficiency every day on the electrical side. We call it electrical work. I am also a member of the Energy Trust of Oregon, have been for years, on the Conservation Advisory Council. Spent Wednesday afternoon with the energy efficiency people from the Oregon BEST group, looking for new ways with contractors and developers and researchers. Matter of fact, we are recipients of money from the Oregon Department of Energy for our solar project that's going now on our building. We're behind this 100%, well, 95%. There's great confusion within our unions and with some of our contractors groups. Great confusion. And we usually stick together 100%. But there's a concern that the rulemaking will switch to some other parties as opposed to the electrical board and, say, the plumbing board. Things will get rammed down our throat. That's kind of a broad statement. So there's concern about that. Otherwise, we're ready to do energy efficiency.
Okay, so I just want to be clear. So you're supportive of the proposal in front of you?
I am.
Senate Bill 448.
Yes, I will say that. I will be coming back with you with concerns about who makes the final calls, I guess.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm getting confused
yes.
now as to final calls to what?
What?
We don't want to have watering down of our license.
but I don't think that's addressed in the bill.
I don't think so either, but that's some of the concerns that's floating around.
Okay, so maybe that's where some of the opposition, I mean, from what I'm seeing here, this is setting a standard of how we are going
We're for the standard. Right.
On state-owned buildings,
right.
Whether they're new or renovated.
Right.
It's not going into whose jurisdiction it is or who's going to make the rules for licensing.
We just want to be sure, Senator.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that there is not language that addresses.
I just want to be to express that we have trained people ready to go. Solar, wind, wave, energy, you name it. If it has electrons in it, we do it.
Okay.
We train for it. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for this panel? Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Anybody else that would like to testify on Senate Bill 448? With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 448. And I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 104. I'd like to ask Andy Ginsberg to come up, please. How are you, Andy?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Can you actually refresh us on this bill? I'm going to spare Beth because I know it's quite complicated. We've already had a public hearing on, as you can see, on January 29th. So, colleagues, I asked Andy to come up to refresh our memories.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Andy Ginsberg. I'm the Air Quality Administrator for DEQ. And just to refresh your memory, Senate Bill 104 just corrects a technical error in a bill from last session. And it adjusts our definition of the consumer price index to be equal to the federal definition. Currently, we use a calendar year, they use a fiscal year, and it allows the Environmental Quality Commission to update the rules more frequently than once a biennium if necessary. And there was no opposition to the bill. Everyone who testified in favor.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Przanski.
I'd like to move Senate Bill 104 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Przanski moves Senate Bill 104 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay. We're missing a member, but hopefully he'll wander back in. I do want to note that, first of all, I'd just like to say that I appreciate the hard work of the department. I know you've worked very hard with many of the stakeholders. Some of them are in this room. Appreciate the support that they've shown on the bill, and certainly am glad to see this move forward with consensus. So appreciate your hard work. Any other comments? Okay. With no further discussion, we will take a roll call. He's excused.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye. The motion passes, and I will carry the bill. Okay, with that, colleagues, that wraps up our hearing for today. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 104. And we'll close the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and we'll see you next week.